Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you so much for making this possible and sending us all these wonderful revelations from you. Dreams, visions, prophecies. And Lord, we believe you. We're putting our trust in you and thanking you so much for what you're doing. And bless this meeting today, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been talking, and I think I'll continue, on death separates the fleshly from the spiritual. This is number 6. And this first revelation about the coming 9-1-1 judgment and it killing the unbelieving. And this was given to Amber Bristol. Amber Arnie, excuse me. I still have the old name up here. Amber Arnie. On 6/9/21. And Amber said, I've been seeing 9-1-1 for months now. And today I decided to ask the Lord if the warning was for me specifically. And I got 4 tails for no. That's a pretty good sign. And then I asked if the 9-1-1 was for the bride. And got 4 heads for yes. Well, you know what the 9-1-1 was. It was a deception by the deep state, right? And, of course, we have a new one now that is, in effect, draining their swamp by far, more than any of the conservatives and so on, you know. And it's a deep state plot, of course, to kill people by injection. Yes, deception injection. And it's, in effect, draining their own swamp and taking down exactly what we said they would take down, which is the apostate church who does not believe in the Bible, in healing and deliverance and all the provision that Jesus gave us concerning all of this. They don't believe it, so they don't get it. It's that way. That's apostasy. Apostasy always leads to destruction. And I might say, too, that this will probably take out some ignorant but innocent people who are searching for truth but haven't arrived. It could do that. And also, we know that our prayers cover people who are ignorant, and that's great too. Thank you, Father. So, going on, she said, I asked the Lord for a verse regarding the 9-1-1 and got Acts 28:6. In context, Acts 28:3-6. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out by reason of the heat, and fastened on his hand. Isn't that interesting? The viper, of course, represents the poison vaccine injection, you know. And when the barbarians saw the venomous creature hanging from his hand, they said one to another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped from the sea, yet justice hath not suffered to live. Well, you'll notice in this text that the barbarians knew this injection was deadly to them and that anyone who lived through it was godly. Pretty amazing, you know. The next verse, 5, says, howbeit, he shook off the creature into the fire and took no harm. But they expected that he would have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But when they were long in expectation and beheld nothing amiss came to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. So these people had more sense than most Christians today. They knew it was deadly. And there is a lot of pagans out there, by the way, that do know that this is deadly and they're not taking it. Yeah. But a person who trusts in God, they should know that they're like Paul. They don't have to worry about such things as that. They're not under the curse, and he already bore the stripes for it, so, you know. And Amber said, it sounds like the plague to me. Yes, it does. And we're talking about, of course, the plague from the inoculation, right? Nothing that we don't already know, but I thought I'd pass it on anyway. The bride will overcome, praise God. Yes, that's true. You know, 911 was an attack by the deep state Babylonians. And what this says is that it will kill the unbelievers, but not the saints. What they made to kill us will kill them, as we were shown by the Lord over 4 years ago, maybe 4.5 years ago now. And we reported it to you widely. What would you think of someone who trusts known depopulationists to force a vaccine on everyone and go and take it? What would you think about that? I mean, when they had a promise from the Lord Jesus and they claim Christianity, but they don't believe him, they believe these people. This is astounding. And even many are begging for it. Large companies, by the way, are considering getting rid of people who were vaccinated because they know that they will be sick and die in the near future. Airlines are in talks to ban the vaccinated from flying because they're the ones that are spreaders. And 150,000 vaccine deaths were hidden from the public by deep state criminals. I'll put a link here to these last few statements. Okay. Here's another one. Failed assassination attempts. Well, you know the deep state's in assassination mode out there trying to assassinate. And we also have our own deep state assassinators in the camp that we call factious, because that's what they are. So this failed assassination attempts, this was given to Deb Horton, 5/16/21. We started our meeting with Deb's dream of a failed assassination attempt. And the verse she received that morning was Jeremiah 23:17. They say continually unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace, and unto every one that walketh in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Well, we know that the factious rebels don't believe that they will die for their witchcraft. They have no protection. They don't believe the Bible anymore. They confess they believe it, but if you speak any verses, it just goes over their heads, period. They ignore you completely. So they have no respect whatsoever, and that, of course, makes them victims. And we've had many dreams of the faction dying to this plague. Okay, not all of them, of course. There are some there that were simply deceived, and they're going to come out and be blessed. And we know that, and we're praying for them. Well, Deb, who edits our UBM books, said, quote, thank you guys more than you know for your prayer and intercession concerning the lying kidney stone symptoms I was having. It was witchcraft. She said that because I prayed for Deb's kidney stones, which were causing her much pain, and I rebuked witchcraft coming from the factious because their demons fight so furiously against any of the biblical materials getting out by Deb and others. And we're used to them trying to hurt the people who are working on the materials. We're used to it. And, of course, their factious leader was the guy who took down our website. And also convinced another woman to take down our videos, which, of course, was grand theft on her case because we had paid her to do that. So they agreed with their band, their grand theft, you know. And Apple, of course, said that could be nobody else but this man who took the site down. So, Deb went on to say, I can't remember many details from my dream last night, but I do remember there was a man trying to kill me, along with two other people. Well, we know these two other people. And she said it was a man and a woman who were with me. Yeah, these two individuals are the ones that they slander the most. And they've tried very hard and failed, as they will. And she went on to say, they, that is the man and the woman, stopped him from killing all of us by revealing something to him. They showed him written pages. Some were handwritten, I think, and a broadcast for him to watch on a small TV or computer screen. Okay, well, it's obviously a computer screen. We showed in several broadcasts in text and audio of the factious leader dying for his sins. And we have revealed many of his sins, including his own bragging of his adultery and fornication, joining with a married couple and another man, all of them together in the same house. And also his constant stalking of our women. He stalks them on the phone, and he stalks them in person, and he's, advanced towards some of our women before he left here, and he was a pretty nasty fella. And, of course, he joins forces with a bunch of bisexuals. Yeah, so he's a pretty nasty fella. And we've prayed much for him. And I even brought him into my home after the third time he factioned, and because he'd lost his mind completely. And we cared for him, and we prayed for him, and as soon as he came out of it, he went right back to his fornication. And Deb said what he saw changed his mind. But they couldn't save him because he was going to die by suicide. Well, this is right along with the pattern that the Lord has shown us. We pray he changes his mind like Judas did, who also could not repent and died by suicide. But all this is not very convincing to someone who's totally possessed. We then ended our prayer meeting on 5/16/21 with another Deb Finsky, and her dream. And she said, I saw a woman and a man come up to her hiding a gun. So a man came up to a woman hiding a gun. He shot four times at her, but the woman did not go down. Another assassination attempt failed. As God has told us about these beforehand, and we've shared them, and when they've happened, of course they've failed. And the woman could be Deb or Sandy or Eve, who all work on the books and materials and have had many dreams that condemn the wickedness and the plotting of the faction. So they particularly send witchcraft against these people, but they fail because these are good people. These are people who put the word of God out there. The only ministry the faction has is trying to kill people. That's it. Spiritually and or physically. Yes. And here's another one. Factious witchcraft plot to kill the bride. And this was given to Eve Brast on 5/24/21. I dreamed that all of local UBM were in a meeting outside next to a large stone wall. And we believe this, she went on to say, that representing separation, in other words, holiness and sanctification through obedience to the word. We were all seated in chairs or at tables, and several of our brethren were standing around fellowshipping with each other. And she said, this was the same scenario as in the recent dream I had that David shared entitled, UBM protected by special ops angels. And in this dream, angels were throwing back the faction's curses upon their own heads, destroying some of them. And, of course, we gave plenty of scripture for that. The Lord, you know, tells us over and over, they lay traps, they fall into them. You know, they set a snare, they fall into it. On and on. They send a curse, they receive it. We gave verses for all this in that program. There were dark figures in the shadows that were about 100 feet away from us, behind me and to our left, in a separate camp away from the stone wall. So this separated camp from us, who were away from the stone wall representing sanctification, are the unsanctified and unprotected. And I knew in the dream that they were all former UBMers that had fallen into faction and had a great hatred and jealousy towards us. Their forms were twisted and grotesque, and they wore trench coats. So they have to hide their lives of corruption, which they can't because the Lord tells us all about it. And I believe 100 here represents the complete darkness and separation from us. 100%. And this is a good thing because this sanctification for our body is showing to be over, right? Then I told David that the factious leader, a black woman and another man, whose identity I wasn't shown in the dream, were plotting to kill me and Sandy by sending witchcraft spirits over to our camp. Well, we know these people, except for the last one. This black woman was overheard assassinating our character, screaming very loudly in Walmart at least a couple of times. So totally crazy, yeah. David then made an announcement to everyone and warned everyone of the evil plans that they were making and told everyone to pray and bind the witchcraft being sent by the people in the faction against us. And then I woke up. Well, and of course, we obeyed and we did this, which this kind of thing has happened many times, and we have bound their curses. But they should know that the special ops angels' ministry is to redirect their own curses back on their own heads. They will find it out if they haven't already. Well, I know that they already, because you can see the curse that they're under. You can see the cloud that they walk in. You can see the fears that they have. It has fallen upon their own heads, but not in a way it's going to, or the dream would not have come. So, I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream and received Hebrews 2 and 15. My finger was on the phrase, through fear of death. Huh. So, in context, it was 13 through 16. Hebrews 2, 13 through 16. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God hath given me. Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death. There you go. That is the devil. He don't have power of death over us, you know. And might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Amen. For verily not to angels, and I might add, or to the factious, doth he give help, but he giveth help to the seed of Abraham. And of course we are seed of Abraham through faith. Those people who walk by faith are the seed of Abraham. That's a rebuke to most of Christianity. I asked for another word for the factious, and my finger was on, hear in these days these words from the mouth of the prophets. That's in Zechariah 8 and 9. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words from the mouth of the prophets, that were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord's hosts, the Lord of hosts, was laid, even the temple, the foundation of the temple laid, that it might be built." Now, we've talked about this, and we've said that that are these days now. This is the laying of the foundation of the temple, the rebuilding of the kingdom of God. And the temple, of course, is the people, right? When Jesus came, that's what he did. He laid the foundation of the temple, which was the people. They had no foundation. All they had was a bunch of Pharisees who factioned against Jesus, right? Yeah. So, the timing here of the foundation being laid. The people whom Cyrus slash Trump set free from Babylon and gave the funds to build the house of God's people are about to lay the foundation. And we have to listen to the prophetic voice of this dream now. Here's one. The Garden of Paradise. It was given to Sandy Shaw, 531-21. Don and Merlene transcribed it. And they said, she said, "The way this dream starts, I'm standing in the middle of a tropical garden, and there were hundreds of birds of paradise plants and hundreds of hummingbirds." My thought was the birds represent overcomers who are in paradise. And she said they were sucking the nectar from the flowers. Amen. So that's the fruit of the garden of paradise. Yes, we do partake of that. When we partake of God's word, we love God's word. "I stood with my arms out, and they would land on me. And the Lord said, when it's time, they will drop the nectar." Well, you know the sweetness of the word. Ezekiel 3:3 speaks about it. "And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." Yes, the roll of the book, the word of God, right? Revelation 10:10. "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my belly," representing the flesh, "was made bitter." Proverbs 16:21, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning." Well, of course, if you keep putting the word of God in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth, and it's going to bless everything around you. Then all of a sudden, some red and white chickens. And we believe that this is those who walk in purity for white and under the blood for red, came running in the garden. So they were in the garden. These were birds of paradise feeding on the word in his garden. "They ran right up behind me and were afraid. And then I said, what's going on? Then these big black chickens," and that's, of course, those who walk in darkness, "came running to the edge of the garden." You notice that they could not enter the garden because they were under judgment, like Pharaoh and his army, chasing those who walk in purity under the blood, right? "And I told them, stop, in the name of Jesus, you can't come in here." Well, the wicked do not feed in the garden of paradise, for they do not love truth, and they love the flesh, and they live in sin. So those who love the truth feed on the word of God and mold themselves in that image, which is Jesus Christ. "I told the hummingbirds, it's time for the nectar." So the black chickens had come up and threatened an attack from the border. "It's time for the nectar. The black chickens kept on squawking. Well, you know, there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. They constantly squawk against the righteous. That's their only ministry, you know. And when the nectar fell on their heads, it got quiet, and they disappeared. Well, the Bible talks about you not being able to find them. They won't hang around those who speak the word, which is that sweetness, right? And it fell on their heads. And all the revelations that we had about their curses coming back upon their own heads, you know. And we know that the sweetness of the word that we speak is death to the old man. The sweetness of the water of the word saved the righteous, but it destroyed Pharaoh and his army. And then she says, 12 white doves flew over the garden. I believe the dove with the olive branch represents peace after the flood of judgment for Noah and those in the ark. You remember? And the covenant of peace given through the 12 man-childs prophesied to be in UBM to those who feed in the garden of paradise. Okay, that will strike a note with you from past revelations that we have received. And so here's verses that were received by faith at random. Luke 22, 56 through 61. And the finger was on 56. And here it is. And a certain maid, seeing him as he sat in the light of the fire and looking steadfastly upon him, this man also was with him. This maid said, right? This man also was with him. But he denied, saying, Woman, I know him not. Well, some people don't speak those quotations, but their mouth lets you know that they know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also one of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. Not. So, separation, faction, right? I'm not one of them. And after the space of about 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Oh, my goodness, there he is again. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said unto him, Before the cock crow this day, thou shalt deny me thrice. So the black chickens who couldn't enter the garden but stood without, squawking, are like when the cock crowed because of their Lord being denied. These people denied the Lord. They've denied his word and they've denied him. And they want to try to push their sin, which they were caught in, off on someone else who is not guilty. Here's another one given to Sandy Shaw. This is why they love Sandy Shaw so much. The factious caught in their own pit. 6:3:21, she got this. I dreamed that we at UBM had tables set up in my living room for crafts. All the local UBM women were there. We had a table set up for quilt making and for painting wooden objects. And I think that this represents like a body ministry. Everybody's working. And a quilt is a patchwork of many different fabrics and designs all stitched together for one use and one purpose. And everyone in the body of Christ has different talents, and we all come together and we use our talents to beautify the things of the kingdom. Amen. And the people of the kingdom. Yeah. And some of the women that were in the kitchen were Eve, Sue G., Missy, and Gaynold. We were all doing our own thing, but together. Yeah. The kitchen, of course, is where the spiritual food is prepared to feed the spiritual man, right? Amen. Outside, all of the men were working, cutting the grass, trimming the trees and the shrubs, and even building a fence further down the property. Well, we build this fence, right? It represents, again, sanctification. And this trimming, you know, of the trees represents repentance and overcoming the flesh through sanctification and separation from the world and its ways. 1 Peter 1:23 through 25 says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently." People that come here, they realize and see the love that is in our body, one towards another. And it's basically because our body's been sanctified of those people who acted and lived as tares. And having been begotten again, or born again, same word, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God. There's that sweet word of God, which liveth and abideth. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof is the flower of the grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. And of course they were cutting the grass, right? Good thing. Cut down the old man. It's the crucified life. I was in the living room, and the phone rang, and I said, "Somebody answer it." It was a man's voice, and he wanted to talk to David. Eve walked to the porch and handed the phone to David. I could only hear David's part in the conversation. He said, "Hello? Oh, is that right? All of us? Right now?" Well, as you will see, the factious slanderers always lay traps for the righteous with their smooth speech. Romans 16:17-18. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling." They are marked, right? "Contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent." Yes, they do. David then walked down to Michael, and he talked to Brandy and Leon, and they waited for others to come up, and then they all got in some trucks and left. A little while later, Lexi walked outside and said, "Hey, where did all the guys go?" None of us knew, and we went on continuing with what we were doing. And I said, "Something doesn't seem right." And Merlene said, "What?" And I called to the ladies to come from the kitchen to the living room and told them something is not right. Eve said, "We should pray in the Spirit and pray out loud as the Lord edifies us." Amen. This is a good way. When you don't know something, you pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows everything. And He always prays in faith, and He's always heard. Pretty good gift. Well, this reminds me of a dream titled "Life at the Refuge" that Sandy had back in 2011. And here it is. I was in a forest. And we're going to come back to this dream, by the way, but we'll take just a time to look at this small dream here. I was in a forest representing the wilderness. Many women were cooking, cleaning, and preparing meals. And off to the side, women were washing clothes and others were sewing. And we believe this represents the bride feeding the spiritual food and washing the spiritual clothes of all the elect that will come out of apostasy during the Great Revival at the beginning of the Tribulation. I spoke to a younger lady and said, it's time to pray and intercede. Then we went to this place where we prayed, and many women were already there praying. Some were standing, some were kneeling, some were prostrate on the ground, interceding. It was as if everyone knew what to do and when to do it. Everything went very smoothly and orderly. And when the women got through with a particular job, they would then come over and pray and intercede. And as you know, the bride will intercede for God's people, just as Queen Esther did, and be very successful in turning it around on the head of Haman and his beast company, right? Then I saw two small children, ages 9 or 10, come running from the forest, and they were yelling, "They are coming! They are coming to get us!" They were very much afraid because they had seen two ships on the water close to the refuge. The Lord says he's going to sink the ships of their rejoicing, talking about the Babylonians, right? The wicked and the factious people in the church and the state will try to persecute us, obviously, but they will fail. All of their things will fail. I said to them, "They can't bother us or see us because we're under God's protection." Meaning, of course, Psalm 91. Then two men from the refuge came out and told the kids not to worry, that all would be fine and that God would protect us. Amen. So we're going back to Sandy's current dream here. And as we were praying, I could still hear us all praying, but the scene changed. And I could see all the men already walking in the forest. But I don't know where they were. In part of the forest, the trees were close together. In other parts, they were farther apart. The ground had a lot of pine needles and leaves. And whatever they were looking for, they did not find, and they went quite a ways into the forest. And David said, either this was a joke or they were straight out lying. So David and the men turned around, and I could hear the whispering of different other men hiding in the forest. And they were saying, "They walked right by it." And others said, "No, they were right on it. Why didn't they fall through?" Yeah. The traps laid by the wicked cannot harm the righteous, for God said many times that they would fall into them, their own traps, right? Then the men who were whispering took off running, and they fell into the pit, which I knew in the dream was a bottomless pit. Oh my goodness, that's supernatural. They were destined to hell. They tried to put the righteous in, obviously, but they failed. You know, the devil, the demons, and the apostates tried to do that to Jesus, but it was them who went to hell, and Jesus who came resurrected out of all of Sheol, right? They were grabbing a hold of old roots and hollering, so they fell in, but they were grabbing hold of things and trying, no. Jeremiah 48:44. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon him, even upon Moab. Moab, by the way, were those who factioned against their own brothers. The year of their visitation, I'll bring upon Moab, the faction, the year of their visitation, says the Lord. That's not a good thing when God says that. He says it quite a few times in the scripture. But the Lord will visit the faction in the man-child body to judge the Edomites. Remember his blood-stained garments, right? He had just come from the Edomites, and he had slaughtered. David and the men that were with him heard them and went running to help them. Yes, because we don't have anything against them. We're sad that they are in this captivity. We're sad that they are demon-possessed, that the Lord turned them over to this. And the Lord tells you to love your enemies, right? And we have, you know, taken care of them whenever we had an opportunity. And David and the other men had ropes in their hands, and they got the ropes under their arms of the men that had fallen into their own pit and started to pull them up. Well, the righteous always practice personal forgiveness and turning the other cheek. Jesus said, love your enemies. And in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, we see it says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not its own. Is not provoked. Taketh not account of evil. Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Well, this makes a wall between the righteous and the unrighteous, because they are not anything to do with any of these positive attributes of love. They don't have them, period. The men being pulled up were murmuring and complaining. Can you imagine? I saw that God had his hand clasped around all of the ropes. They were gathered together as one bundle, and he cut all the ropes together, and the murmurers fell back down into the bottomless pit. That's not good. Well, it is good for everybody else, and the murders are over and so on and so forth, you know. I recognized one of the men as the current factious leader. Yeah. And another factious leader from 2013 who stole actually 300 pieces of silver. Does that identify anything? To the brethren that were given to the brethren, that he stole them. And these were the loudest of the murmurers. Yes, these are people that are joined together today. I mean, that's the second guy. He doesn't know that we know he's totally involved again, you know. But he's very corrupt. And anyway, Jude 1:14-19. Behold, the Lord came with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their works of ungodliness which they have ungodly wrought and of all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, showing respect of persons for the sake of advantage. But ye, beloved, remember ye the words which have been spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they said unto you, in the last time there shall be mockers, walking after their own ungodly lusts. These are they who make separations, sensual, having not the Spirit. Okay, I'm going to go a little over here. Verses received by faith at random. Acts 3:21-26. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, whereof God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord thy God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me, to him shall you hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. This prophet, by the way, was Jesus in the body of the Son of David. And in like manner, history is being repeated today, except on a larger scale, as the Lord has shown me, in that Jesus is coming manifested in a corporate body of the spiritual sons of David. Okay, to once again lead God's people. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and them that followed after, as many as have spoken, they also told of these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Okay, let's see here. I'm going to share one more with you here. Moved by the Spirit and not ourselves. This was given to Claire Pinar, 5/23/21. I dreamed that Rion and I were at the start of a gross-looking swamp. And we believe this was representing the dying Babylonian deep state system, you know, including their religious deep state system, you know, which we've been having so much trouble with. We had to get through the swamp to get to the Tennessee Refuge. There were two women and a man in white hazmat gear who were injecting things into the swamp. Injecting things into the swamp? Yeah. The swamp is dying of their own poison injections, right? There was a series of large cranes that were in the swamp, and we were supposed to be transported by one crane and then another until we reached a wooden boardwalk on the other side of the swamp, where we could then walk safely to Tennessee. And Rion put a note here. That's Claire's husband. The cranes were our Passover of the swamp. And I might add, it's poisoned blood, right? That is our Passover to the safe place prepared on the other side. Just like the Israelites had everything prepared before by God. And then Claire said, are the cranes still part of the construction of Babylon? I think it might be using the beast system to get us where God wants us. Well, you know, think about the multiple cranes and their cables with their buckets to ride in could represent the airlines. Yeah. And I believe it very well is that. And they were swinging from one airline to the next, you know. We were waiting for the crane to pick us up from the edge of the swamp. But then we were pushed into the water, and I became very fearful. I thought it was radioactive or dangerous because of the hazmat gear. However, Rion said to me, "Shh. Listen and look. You're not even wet. We're moving through the swamp without getting wet." Well, that would be something that we should understand from Psalm 91, right? And here is Psalm 23, 1 through 6, which is what came to me from this. And it's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, not swamps. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guideth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is, of course, a shepherd leading his flock, right? And of course, Rion was giving good, good advice and calm words to Claire in this predicament. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Oh boy, it's happened. It's happened with us. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So we hopped into the bucket of the first crane, and we were lifted up and placed onto the next crane. Then we climbed into the bucket and were lifted into the next crane. Does that sound like going from flight to flight? You run through the airport and you get another flight, and then you run through another airport and get this continued for what seemed like a long time. And it's like traveling by the airlines from flight to flight. I looked down, and I had blue jeans on, and they were not wet at all. So the swamp had not even touched her. There were no crane operators. It was being done supernaturally. And I believe this represents that we were being moved by the Holy Spirit and not by our own works, she said. We were being moved into the heavenly realms on this journey. The blue jeans. Yeah, walking in heavenly places, right? We got across the swamp and started walking on the wood boardwalk, walking the road of the crucifixion, walking in death to self, as Jesus commands, And she gives a verse, Matthew 16:24-26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? The crucified life is to bring us to the end of our old life and the beginning of Christ's new life. If you don't deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him, you are not Jesus' disciples. There are a lot of people that are not going against their flesh at all. I mean, when you read the Word of God, you understand that it's contrary to your fallen nature. And there's things that constrict you. And these things will bring you to the end of your carnal life and give you the life of Christ. And she said, I did not initially get a verse by faith at random for this dream, as it moved directly into another dream. And I just ask God now for one, and I receive 2 Chronicles 6:39. Then hear thou from heaven and from thy dwelling place their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people who have sinned against thee. Amen. How awesome. Well, Lord, we do pray that your sanctified people will not fear anything whatsoever. It is a supernatural walk, obviously. And, you know, one of her questions was, do we use the Babylonian system? Yes, somewhat, we do that. It's changing rapidly, I might say. Many astounding inventions are being rescued from the deep state. And President Trump said he was going to reveal all of these, and he is, and they are astounding. So things will change. The whole system is changing. There are electrical people out there that are connecting the free energy as we speak. One of ours just spoke to one of their leaders, and he told them all about it. It's happening. Soon you'll have free energy. But there will be some black spots in the switchover. So be prepared to lose electricity for a short while. This is very important that you listen and do this. And also that you have food. And if you have a freezer, you can, you know, do something to help keep it and whatever. So, and by the way, stores and other things will go down. You know what, when electricity goes down, a lot of other things go down. And by the way, things are going down right now. And, well, Father, we thank you so much for your awesome plan for us, your awesome deliverance of your people from the swamp people. And thank you so much, Father, that your people, that you would put it in their heart to run after you with all of their hearts, to cast aside anything that is polluted by the swamp, any words that are coming from the swamp, any spirits that are coming from the swamp, that they will cast these down by faith and fear nothing. Thank you, Father, for what you do. We know this has all been a training for us for the days to come, for you're raising up your first fruits in order to train a much larger body of people who are coming out of apostate Christianity and really don't know what's going on. And just like Jesus, who raised up those first apostles, and who also raised up a fivefold ministry to go forth and to teach the people of God the new covenant. And thank you for what you're doing, Lord. It is astounding and wonderful, and we appreciate you so much. We thank you that our enemies are being confounded as we speak, that your angels around about us to protect us from all of their foolishness. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today. Well, all right. Good night, and God bless you.